Well, it is good, really good, just to be with you this morning. And again, my wife Lori is right over here, and we're just eager, really, to share our hearts and share our lives with you. If there's any way in which we can be an encouragement in pointing you to Christ, that is our desire. Just even in interacting with you potentially after this service. Well, if we were in a small Manica church in West Africa, in Guinea, West Africa this morning, we would greet one another by saying, Ainise, Ainise, Alubarabo, Alubara, Alubarana, Alubara, Jiale. This is in the church. And what that means is, welcome, welcome. You have left your home, and you have entered your home. There is hope, or there is a place of rest here. So I hope that as we look at the text this morning, a number of texts this morning, I hope that you will find a place of rest in Christ Jesus. I hope that the outcome of what we do this morning is that you will be so resting in Him that it just sets you free to make Him known to those around you. Well, I want to read a text, very familiar text. This will be our text, and yet we will go into several different places as we look at what God is calling us to in this global opportunity to bring the kingdom of God to the nations. I want to start with a very familiar text. So I'm going to read Matthew 28, verses 16 through the end there, through 20. And I just wonder if you would rise with me as we read God's word together. I'll read it, but rise with me, and then I'll pray, and we'll dig in here. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Father, we're just so thankful this morning that we belong to you through your Son, Jesus, and that you have filled us with your Spirit. This morning, as we look at your word, we're simply asking that you would take 5 loaves and 2 fish and that you would multiply it to satisfy every single heart who hears this word, that it would satisfy and it would teach us and it would train us to be more like Christ. Send your Spirit in great measure this morning, opening our eyes, opening our minds, opening our souls to truth, that we might embrace it, that we might love it, that we might live out of it, to the glory of your name, as we interact with a world that desperately needs to see you. Oh, Father, would you do this work? We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So it is a delight. I love worship. I love the fact that we worship, we sing songs before we preach the word, because so often, by the time I get to the opportunity to preach, we've sung everything that I want to say. And that is the case this morning. If we could go back through those songs and I could just point out to you, you would see that, oh my goodness, that's exactly what he's saying from these texts. So let's look at it and review it together, though we have sung it to the Lord and to our own hearts and to one another already. God has called us to a place of imitation. He's called us into a place of imitation. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This morning, I just want to take us on a journey through some very familiar scriptures, and I want to teach us afresh of our God, of His delights, of His intentions for our lives, for the glory and the sake of His name throughout all the earth. This is a work that God is doing, and He's inviting us into it. So I want to remember the story of Isaiah. If you want to turn, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Be the first six verses there. But remember the story of Isaiah. He was a man. He was a prophet. And he had a vision. You remember that? He had a vision. And in that vision, he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And the train of the Lord's robe filled the temple. Filled the temple. And there were great angelic beings that were there. Seraphim, they called them. Great angelic beings there. And they were calling out over and over and over. And they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Well, you remember, don't you, that Isaiah was overcome. I mean, he was flattened. He was just down as he saw this glorious reality before him. He was seeing God. He was seeing the fullness. And he is overcome mightily. Why? All Isaiah saw of himself, all he knew of himself, was a poverty that manifested itself in sin and a focus on self-centered realities as he looked at the glorious reality of God. His whole being is suddenly revealed to him, and he sees himself and he sees his people as dead in comparison to the life and the abundance of God that is revealed before him. What does he say? He says, "Woe is me, I am lost." So that was Isaiah's response. What is God's response? Do you remember? What is God's response to Isaiah's humble self-evaluation? What does God do? Does he chase him away? Does God chase Isaiah away? Does he say, "Yo, seraphim, get him out. He is dirty." Do you remember what God's response is? God draws him into his abundance. God invites him into his presence by way of the altar, by way of the cross. A coal from the altar is placed upon the lips of the man, the dirty man, is placed upon the man, Isaiah, and a declaration is made. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Y'all, let me say that for someone who has seen the abundance of God and realized that the selfishness of his own heart will forever keep him from that abundance, those are the most precious words he could ever hear. Your guilt is taken away, Isaiah. Your sin is atoned for. And that is a message that your neighbors need to hear. That is a message that your children need to know. That is a message that the nations, the faraway peoples, need to hear. Some of them for the first time ever. Well, the angelic beings that are involved in this encounter, they don't even know how God's going to bring about this saving work. They have no clue. Peter, in his first letter, says that the angels longed, they yearned to understand the mystery of God's salvation. How is he going to do it? How is God going to do this amazing work? And yet to us, church, to us has been revealed the way, the truth, the life of this salvation. Our salvation is a person, right? Our salvation is a man. We know him by his name, Jesus. And we have received the abundance of the Father. We have received the abundance of the Father in the person of the Son. Ours is the salvation that he has purchased by his death on the altar of the cross for all who will believe, who will take refuge in him. We come to the Father through the Son, whose life was taken from him on the altar of the cross, that we might be given the life, the eternal relationship with the Father that Jesus has always known and longs for us to know. And even though these angels, they didn't understand the mystery of salvation, they by faith proclaimed through their obedience that the Almighty would do for this sinful prophet what the Almighty would do, and for any who will open their hearts to the Lord and humbly repent. So, what is the response of God? This is where we're recognizing what our opportunity is in the world. What is the response of God's servant, Isaiah, to this abundant grace that's just poured out before him and into which he has been invited through the cleansing power of God? Having seen the glory of God, okay, having received the forgiveness of sin, what is his response to all of this? This is the pattern. God reveals the abundance of who he is to his children. They see their poverty in the light of God's abundance, and they fall before him in humble repentance. We do this daily, don't we? And God then graciously cleanses his children and invites them into the abundance of himself. Life with God. God with us. But what then? The children, now filled with the Spirit of God, they begin to imitate God. They begin to pour out the abundance of God in their interactions with the world around them, their interactions with their children in their home, their interactions in all that they do and all that they say, pouring forth the abundance of God, living to make known this abundance that they've seen and experienced in God Almighty. And God asks the question, whom shall I send? Who's going to go for us? He's asking, who's going to declare the truth concerning who I am, my abundance, my salvation, that you all have experienced, that you all know. You guys, you all have all benefited from the abundance of God as you've embraced Christ and you have been filled with his Spirit. You know the abundance of God as you read the Word around your breakfast table. You know the abundance of our great God. Who will go for us? This is why Jesus tells us to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, may you be exalted above all. Oh, let your kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The heart of God, the heart of God is a longing for his children, the children of Adam, to know what Adam first knew. Adam knew the abundance and the goodness of God. This is the heart of a father who delights to serve his children. He delights to draw them in to all that he is. Remember the words of Jesus as he's talking in a context of not living to build your own little kingdom, not building to preserve your wealth. No, living within a context of living for the kingdom of God, he says, "Fear not. Fear not, Isaiah. Fear not. Jesus says, fear not, little children. Fear not. For it is your Father's good pleasure. It's His delight. It's His earnest desire to give you the kingdom. This is the heart of God, CRC. This is the heart of our God. And oh, how those given to you, those with whom you have just a little bit of influence, it might be at your workplace, it might be in your home, it might be grandchildren, a little bit of influence, your neighbor next door who built a wall and you never really see him, a little bit of influence. This is the heart of God, how he longs to present himself through your lives and through your explanations of life to those around you. God's heart is for the nations and for your neighbor next door. His heart is for the nations and for your children as they're growing up in your home. His heart is for the nations and for those with whom He has given you influence on a day-to-day basis. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Well, Isaiah's response after he has seen the abundance of God is, Lord, here I am. Send me. Let me be your representative. Let me go. Let me serve. Let me take this message of abundance to my people. Isaiah wants to pour out his life just as God has poured out his life. God is constantly pouring out His life. He's constantly pouring out His life so that you might see His life and embrace it and enter into it. And He wants His children to imitate Him. And use this life that's given to you now as belonging to Him, not fearing, but excited that He wants to give His kingdom to you and through you. And so you give yourself to that amazing opportunity to make His life known. To make His life, to make the abundance of Him known to those around you. When Jesus says to His disciples on that mountain in Galilee, in the text that we read, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus is revealing His glory. The train of His robe that fills the temple, the glory that fills the whole earth. He is revealing that He is God. Not to be doubted, but to be worshipped. So let's move into a New Testament text and see some of this very same thing afresh from the New Testament. Same God. Do you remember on the Sea of Galilee? This is Luke 5. But you remember on the Sea of Galilee? It's early morning. Peter and his buddies, they have fished all night. And they have caught nothing. Nothing. Jesus is on the shore. There's a crowd around Him. So He turns to Peter, who's washing and mending his net with his friends. Jesus says to Peter, could I use your boat? So I have a little platform to stand in so the people don't crowd me. Peter's like, sure, teacher. You're welcome to. They push it out a little bit. And Jesus teaches the crowd. Peter's washing, Peter's mending nets, Peter's tired. Jesus finishes with the crowd, turns to Peter and says what? Says, Peter, put your boat out. Put your boat out into the water and let down your nets. Peter, you remember what his response is? He's reluctant, you know? You remember that? He's reluctant to do that. Why? He's tired. He's ready to go home. He's got to go home. He's got to rest in the day because in the evening, he's got to go back out for another night of fishing. They caught nothing last night. Remember that? This is their means. This is their daily bread. If you live in a country where people eat today what they got today, they don't have freezers and fridges and things like that, you begin to realize the economy of life. It's hard. Got to go back out tonight. Got to catch some fish. But Peter listens. Folks, as you share the glory of Christ, this is where God just steps in. Peter listens, something awakens with him, in him, a sense of, I should do this. Well, that isn't just Peter. That is the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That's God working in that moment to bring Peter into the great purposes that God has for his life. It's what he wants to do through you and through me. That's how he wants to work. Man, if I can just stir you up into some excitement here. Of God at work, God working. You see it here in this text. So Peter, reluctantly, puts out. And you remember the story? They take in a catch. He has to call his buddies in the other boat. And both boats are sinking. There are so many fish in the boat. You know, why? Why God? Why Jesus? Why such abundance? I mean, really. Just a couple fish would have provided for them, a few fish in the net, and you know, Peter would have been thankful, and you could have just said, hey, yo, Peter, thank you. Thank you for the use of your boat. That was kind. That was nice. Yeah, a few fish. Take them on home. Abundance, overflowing, out of this world. You can't even think of Peter. What does it do? What does Peter do? Grace of God. As you share the abundance of God, watch God do this in the hearts of your children, of your neighbors. Be faithful to present the abundance of God. What does God do? What does Peter do? He falls down just like Isaiah. And he says, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of this. Depart from me. Depart from me. And what does Jesus do? You better believe it, Peter. I am just not interested in a dirty man like you at all. If you clean up your act, if you just get your act together, hey, yeah, come to me next week. Get your act cleaned up, all right? Maybe stop by a church somewhere. Figure it out, and then come to me. No. 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 No, because God is in the middle of it. So it's not a matter of cleaning up his act. He says, Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be, hear the purposes of God? You will be catching men. Never forget, church, that God is the one who is at work to will and to do according to his good purposes. Paul wrote to Titus, and he said these words. He says, when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out, abundance here, on us richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his works, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I would guess that in this building right here, most of you, that is your story. That is your story. You know the Father through the work of Christ by the Holy Spirit, so that being justified by his grace, you might become an heir of the hope of eternal life, according to the hope of eternal life. That's your story. You have experienced and known, enjoyed the abundance of Almighty God. You know, he could have just taken you home. But he didn't. He pours himself into your life so that you might join in with him in now making that life known to those around you. From the simplest things, again, in your kitchen, in your home, making Christ known to the littlest ones in your house, making Christ known to your spouse who needs to hear a little love today, making Christ known in every aspect of your life. He saved you in order that you knowing the abundance of him might make him known. Well, Peter's response to Jesus was much like that of Isaiah. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus' response is a response of mercy. It's a response of, hey, Peter, here's the abundance of God. Let me just pour it out on you. Peter is invited into the very purpose for which his life was created by his Father in heaven. Don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will be catching men. No, Peter, you cannot do this. So I would say that to each one of you. No, you can't do this great work of making God known in yourself. Jesus basically says to Peter, I'm going to do this through your life. I have saved you from nothingness. Hey, Peter, you can't even catch a fish without me. So that you might live out the purpose for which I give you life and breath every day. The abundance of God includes God with us. God is intimately involved in every aspect of your life and my life. Life belongs to him. It is his, and you are his through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus told his friends that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him, he was showing them afresh his glory. That he is God, that heaven and earth belong to him. He was proclaiming the same glory that Isaiah saw, but was now fully revealed. He was proclaiming the glorious victory, the salvation brought about by his Father through his own death and resurrection and ascension to the throne. In those few words, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus is declaring the glory of Isaiah's vision that fills the earth. The disciples are now seeing clearly. They're seeing face to face the one seated on the throne whose abundance fills the earth. And I want you to note, because this is so important because of who we are and our sinful self that just resides with us and walks through with us through life. I want you to know that these disciples are not being rebuked. They're not being rebuffed by Jesus. Remember up there? Even though some of them doubted. Everybody takes a breath, fresh air. Not being rebuked. Not being rebuffed. Even though some of them doubted. Rather, the abundance of God is being poured out in their lives. They're being invited to live their lives out of that abundance and to share it with others, even as Christ has shared it with them over 3 years. So the life of Jesus, so here comes our imitation, right? The life of Jesus, of love for others, his was a willing sacrifice for the good of others. He had come to serve, not to be served. That's your tagline. CRC, that is your tagline, church, brothers and sisters. You are not here to be served. God gives you breath. He gives you strength. He gives you financial packages. He gives you homes that are nice to live in. He gives you all of this so that you might serve. That's the imitation of God. God is always giving. And he wants you to be in that same place of always giving. Not, No, always giving, always serving. And that's Jesus. He served others by continually speaking his Father's truth with them and with the crowds that gathered around them. He served others by using his Father's resources to bring about an abundance of food that overflowed to bless hungry men and women and children who were satisfied from a few small loaves. He served others by bringing his Father's healing power to bear on crippled men who stood and danced, and on women with long-standing illnesses that caused them to be shunned by others. He served others by connecting the Father's love to the cursed of society, extending his hand in love to lepers who felt for the first time the hand and love of God on their peeling skin as new life poured into them and they were made whole. He served others by lowering man-made cultural barriers. Maybe we could call them political barriers, whatever you want to call them here. Revealing his Father's heart for all so that outsiders benefited from the blessing of God's salvation and healing. He served others by extending the Father's welcome to children and embracing them and praying over them. He served others by walking that road to the cross so that in his death, the debt of all his children might be paid. And in his resurrection, they might all be given the life of God, a life that flows and overflows for the good of others. So Jesus displayed his Father's heart to us by using the authority of his Father to bring about the blessing of God to bear on the lives of people, both in their souls and their bodies. And today, he's asking all of his disciples, us included, to imitate him as he imitated his Father. We're to do the very same work by walking today and every day submitted to him while sharing the abundance of our God, an abundance that he has demonstrated to us on the cross. Whoa. So that kind of gives you the realization of how far this could go. Giving your life to the point of death. It's the glory of God as he just pours out an abundance that he is willing to go all the way to the cross, death, in order to bring life to another. Not here to be served, but to serve. You see, the nations don't have a front row seat. And so he said, go to the nations. Your children, your grandchildren in your homes, they need continually to see the display of the Father's love and see the truth through your lives so they might embrace him with their desires. Not just in word. You can have devotions all your life and your children see the actual reality of your lives. They need to see the abundance of God through your lives and through the truth. To neighbors caught in destructive cultural webs and who have no understanding of a way out. So you see, the church, the bride of Christ, is to be the vehicle by which God's abundance is shared with the world. And his presence in the church is the very power that brings understanding and salvation to lives that desperately need to know and experience the abundance of his love. God is always inviting his people to come in and know his bounty. And the invitation being taken to the nations is, come, taste, see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who finds his refuge in him. So today, as you hear his voice, turn. Turn from selfish and small ambitions. Listen for the grace that accompanies his every command. The grace is a person. We know him. It's Jesus. His presence, who is with you always, church. With you always. Your home, your office, Aldi, on the roads. Yeah, he's even with you when you're driving your car. With you always. His power enabling you to make him known in every aspect of your life. He might even call someone to go to Timbuktu. And you may be the church that sends that couple to Timbuktu. But wait. Wait for him. He is active. He will speak. He will raise up. He will send out But he's placed all of you in this place in order that you might make the abundance that you enjoy known to a world that desperately needs to hear of him. He is the very one who holds all authority and uses that authority to bring the abundance of his Father into the life of his church so that the glory of the cross might be forever on display for a world that needs to hear it. Pray with me. Father, we're just so thankful that you are not weary, that you are not worn out, but that you are continually pouring out the abundance of yourself. If we saw, along with Isaiah, that vision, it'd be a vision of you still on your throne, with your glory still in its fullest extent, and that the nations, the glory of that of you is going to the nations. And so this morning, would you continue to work in our hearts that we might make you known to one another? After this service, as we pray with one another, as we seek your face for neighbors in our neighborhood, as we seek to love you and to love them with the abundance that is you. So, Father, would you so work in and through us by your Spirit? We want to honor your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful that we do belong to you. And Father, I pray that if there are any in this room this morning that don't know our Lord Jesus, they don't know you, they don't know the power of your Spirit, oh Father, would you give them the courage to just turn to somebody next to them and say, hey, teach me, tell me, show me about this one, the way, the truth, and the life. We are so thankful. You are God and you are at work, building, strengthening, bringing about your abundance in the earth. The whole earth is full of your glory. I will make you fishers of men. So, Father, we just give thanks to be your children. We pray this. We worship you now. In the name of Jesus, amen.